Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Yeah, Shalom and praise Yahweh that we are here in the wilderness for Sukkot 2025. And Yahweh is blessing us and teaching us the messages that we need for this end time to be able to overcome and to be able to endure till the end. So the message today is the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And many do misinterpret the parable that Yeshua gave to show the Jewish religious people of his time that they needed to repent and to believe in him. Otherwise, they risked losing out on the eternal life because Yeshua did say in John 14, verse 6, I'll not be able to read that for now, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. So many uses that parable to show or to just want to prove that maybe the dead are in heaven, that Abraham is in heaven, but or we know even from the scriptures that clearly the dead are asleep. That also maybe the hellfire, the eternal hellfire, which is false, that actually the wicked will receive that eternal damnation through the lake of fire, which is the second death. So as we're going to show from scriptures, that actually this parable that Yeshua used was to show the religious people at that time, and even us in the end time, to be able to understand the Yahweh's plan, that actually it is only through the belief, through repentance, the belief in Yeshua, to be able to receive eternal life. This parable is recorded in the book of Luke, and I believe that when we look at the four aspects of Yeshua Messiah, the book of Luke portrays Yeshua as the with the face of a man, that he came to save mankind. And we're going to read that from the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10. And it says, the likeness of their faces, talking about the four living creatures, the likeness of their faces, the face of a man and the face of a lion, on the right side to the four of them, and the face of an ox on the left to the four of them, and the face of an eagle to the four of them. There's a footnote down there that says, these faces show the four good news books and aspects of Yeshua Messiah. Matthew was written to the Jews and represents the lion, which is Judah's symbol. Mark shows Messiah as the servant of Yahweh, and is depicted by the ox, who is the hardest working animal for man. Luke was written to the nations, or for the nations, and shows that the face of man, that Messiah came for all mankind, and John's good news message typifies the eagle who ascends to the heavens and represents Messiah as Elohim. So we see that the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, it's only in the book of Luke, to show us that aspect of Yeshua being the savior of mankind. So we go to the parable itself in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And we're going to read through the verses and be able to expound on each one of them as we continue in the parable, so that we'll be able to understand each and allow the scripture to interpret itself. So verse 19, it says, and there was a rich man, and he was accustomed to don a purple robe and fine linen, making merry in luxury day by day. So this rich man, we want to see from scripture, who is the rich man being depicted here, that there was a rich man and was accustomed to don a purple robe and fine linen, making merry in luxury day by day. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. And then we'll come back again to the parable as we continue with it. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 5 says, I tell the truth in Messiah, I do not lie, my conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit, that my grief is great, and a never-ceasing pain is in my heart. For I myself was wishing to be accursed from Messiah, for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the sonship, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the Torah, and the service, and the promises, who are the fathers, and from whom is the Messiah, according to flesh, he being Elohim over all, blessed forever. Amen. So who is this rich man? It's actually the Israelites, having that the promises through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the covenant, the covenants, yeah, the glory, the sonship, the giving of the Torah, the service, and even the Messiah in the flesh. Yeah, he descended from them. So actually, being given that blessing of being born an Israelite made some of them to think that they were having the inherent right to salvation and to be given eternal life just because of the physical descendants. But as we're going to see, it is not that way. And Yeshua used this parable to show to them and even to show us now that we have to believe in him and have faith in him and build that faith to be able to receive eternal life. So we continue with the parable, verse 20, and it says, and there was a certain poor one named Eleazar, and he would lay at the gate of that rich man while being afflicted with sores. So Eleazar is there, laying at the gate of that rich man while being afflicted with sores. So Eleazar means, it's an Aramaic name, which means El is my help. So Elohim is my help. But now, with the translations to Greek and from Greek to English, they took the name Lazarus, and Lazarus means without help. So that is why we talk about Lazarus and the rich man. So the rich and the one who was not having any help. But we allow the scriptures to interpret itself, and now who is Lazarus and who is Eleazar from scripture in Hebrew? Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Yeah, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, and then we'll continue from there to verse 6. It says, after these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to you, and your reward will increase greatly. And Abram said, Adonai Yahweh, what will you give to me? I am going childless, and the son of inheritance of my house is the Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given no seed to me, and lo, the son of my house is inheriting of me. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now at the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So Eleazar was a faithful servant to Abram, and that is why Abram was looking at it that maybe he is going to take the inheritance, and now the promises will be through that servant who was faithful. And Yahweh told him, no. Inasmuch as you want him to get the blessings also, there is judicial order, there is time for him, for the nations, to also get the promises. So he told him that it is only your physical descendant who will be coming out of your own bowels. So we understand that from scripture that actually Isaac was born and being the son of the promise. So we see that the initial order of salvation, and now the Jews, the Israelites being descendants, the physical descendants of Abraham, in a way regarded the Gentiles without the promises of Yahweh, being outside the covenant, as dogs, or at the lower level as dogs. And we know from the book of Romans chapter 2, let's go there, Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about the judicial order of salvation, that actually it was first through the physical descendants, and then it was opened up to whoever believes in Yahweh, in Yeshua. So Romans chapter 2, verse 6 to 11, it says, "He will give to each according to his deeds everlasting life, truly to those who with patience in good work, seeking glory and honor and immortality. But to the ones who are stubborn and do not obey the truth, but obey iniquity, he will render anger and wrath, trouble and pain on every soul of man that works out evil, both of Jew first and also of Gentile. But glory and honor and peace will be to everyone working out good, both to the Jew first and to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with Yahweh." So we see the judicial order there, that it's actually to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And in the life of a true believer, there are trials. There are trials, there are challenges, which can be compared to having sores and wounds on the body because of the belief in Yeshua, that if you have those trials, those challenges. And we see from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6, it says, "For we know that you are the elected ones, my brethren, and beloved of Elohim. For our good news will not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, even as you know how we live among you for your sakes. And you became imitators of us and of our Master, welcoming the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." So we see that the brethren who are believing in Yeshua, they had those afflictions, which can be compared to, in the parable, Yeshua is talking about Lazarus having sores on his body. And we continue with the parable, verse 21, the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 21, it says, "And longing to be filled from the crumbs that were falling from the table of the rich one, but coming, even the dogs licked his sores." So the dogs licking his sores means that he is regarded, and the Jews regarded the Gentiles as dogs because they are outside of the covenant of Israel, and they were not having any promise. And now we want to see from the book of Matthew chapter 15 what happened when Yeshua was here on earth and encountered a lady from the Gentile nation, what it says there. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and 20 all through to 28, we're going to read chapter 15, verse 21. It says, "And going out from there, Yeshua withdrew to the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came forth from those borders, cried out to him, saying, 'Have pity on me, Master, son of David. My daughter is badly demon-possessed.' But he did not answer her a word. And coming near, his disciples asked him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said to them, 'Have I not been sent except to the sheep which went astray from the house of Israel?' But coming, she worshipped him, saying, 'Master, help me.' But answering, he said, 'It is not good to take the bread of the children to throw it to the little dogs. But she said, yes, master, for even the little dogs eat of the crumbs falling from the table of their masters. Then answering Yeshua said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that moment. So we see from here that actually through the faith of that woman from Canaan, that her daughter was completely healed, towards being badly demon-possessed. And Yeshua said, the food is for the children. So the food is on the table, and you cannot be able to take the food for the children and give the little dogs. But this woman said, even for the little crumbs that fall from the table, then the dogs end up eating that. And now you see in the parable, Lazarus is eating of the crumbs that are falling from the table, and that means the little bit of the opportunity for salvation, building the faith of this Gentile woman, was able to get her daughter being healed. Verse 22, we continue through the parable. And it happened, the poor one died and was carried away by the cherubs into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich one also died and was buried. So we see both of them died and they were buried. So none of them is being talked about being in heaven, but they were buried. And then we see the same terminology being used by Yahweh to Moses. In the book of Numbers 11, we're not going to read there. It shows the having the same promises, being at the bosom of Abraham, means having the same covenant promises as Abraham was having. We continue verse 23. It says, and being in torments in Sheol, lifting up his eyes, he sees Abraham afar off and Eliezer in his bosom. So, being in torment means mental anguish. He's not in fire, but he is being resurrected in the second resurrection, and it is evident that he's not receiving or being given eternal life, but his faith is to the lack of fire. So, with that torment, he's lifting up his eyes and seeing Abraham and Eliezer afar off, meaning Abraham and Eliezer are already being given that eternal life because they were in the first resurrection. And with the resurrection, the person who died does not know. Death is like sleep, and they do not know that they've been dead for thousands of years or so many years, but it will be just like a second. And with the same mind, the same knowledge that they were having, now they are getting that, oh, this is their faith, and there will be no change there that will happen. In the second resurrection, they will be judged according to their works. And we would like to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 20, about the first resurrection, which Abraham and Eliezer are taking part in. They are part of the first resurrection because they are faithful. And it says, and I saw thrones, that's chapter 20, verse 4 to 6 in the book of Revelation. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast, nor its image, and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over this, but they will be priests of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and will reign with him 1,000 years. So these are covenant believers in Yeshua in this time when they were alive, and now if they fell asleep, if they die in the Master, then blessed are they because they take part in the first resurrection, and holy they are. They become priests and kings and reign with Yeshua 1,000 years. And then after the 1,000 years, everybody who ever lived will be resurrected. That is now the second resurrection. And we are going to read down there in verse 11 to 15. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled, and a place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before Yahweh, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according out of the things written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead in it, the death and grave gave up the dead in them, and they were each judged according to their works. And the death and grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone was not found having been written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So we see the books are open. And of course, these books are also books of the Bible, because that will be the judgment will be based on the word of Yahweh, that which has been written. And the ones who didn't believe in Yahweh and in Yeshua, then they receive the wages of sin, which is death, and it is death in the lake of fire, and they cease to live. Then we continue the parable there in verse 25. We go back to Luke 16, verse 24. "And calling, he said, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Eliezer, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and moisten my tongue, for I am tormented by this flame." There's a footnote there that says he is in mental anguish as he realizes that he's not in Yahweh's kingdom and is about to be thrown into the lake of fire. So that's what's happening at the second resurrection, that the ones who have received immortality, they have received eternal life, they will not be judged. And the ones who are being resurrected and judged according to their works will be thrown into the lake of fire. So if he was already burning in the fire, then it would be most odd that he's only asking for Eliezer to give him a drop of water and not buckets to put out the fire. The analogy is the water is representing the Holy Spirit, and the rich man was not seeking the Holy Spirit from Yahweh. The judgment is final. So that is now the anguish that he's having and requesting for even the tip of the finger with some water to moisten the tongue, which the water represents the Holy Spirit, and there's only one way to receive the Holy Spirit to be sealed and to have that as to be the son of Yahweh. It is through the belief, the repentance, the belief, and to be baptized in the name of Yeshua, and to be laying hands on by an elder of Yahweh to receive the gift, the Holy Spirit. Verse 25, it continues to say, "But Abraham said, My son, remember that you fully received your good things in your lifetime, and Eliezer likewise the bad things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented." So Abraham and Eliezer have received eternal life, and now the ones who thought that by being physical descendants of Abraham have the inherent rights to receive eternal life, it is clearly being shown here that they will be cast into the lake of fire. And the scripture expounds on that. Yeshua, in the book of Luke chapter 13, we go back in the book of Luke chapter 13 verse 23 to 30, showing us that in the kingdom, Abraham and everybody who believed in Yeshua would be in the kingdom, but the sons of the kingdom, those who were born as a physical descendant and did not receive the salvation through Yeshua, they will be cast into the lake of fire. So I'm going to read chapter 13 in Luke, verse 23, and it says, "A man asked him, Master, are the ones being saved few? But Yeshua said to them, Labor to enter in through the narrow gate, for I say to you that many will seek to enter in and will not have strength. From the hour that the master of the house rises and secures the door, then he will stand outside and knock on the door and begin to say, Our master, our master, open to us. And he will answer and he will say, I say to you that I do not know you from where you are. Then he will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know you from where you are. Depart from me, all who ask for falsehood. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of Elohim, but you yourselves being cast out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south, and will recline in the kingdom of Yahweh. And behold, they are the last ones who will be first, and they are the first ones who will be last. So even Paul talks about in the book of Romans, we are not going to read there, that Isaiah says, even the sons of Israel being as the sand of the sea, the remnants will be saved. So it is not every last person being a physical descendant of Abraham will receive eternal life, but they have to have they have to make that choice and accept Yeshua as the Messiah. It continues the parable in verse 26, saying, and besides all these things, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those desiring to pass from here to you are not able, nor can they pass from there to us. So we see there is a difference in the immortal, the ones who have received eternal life, and the ones who are being judged in this physical flesh, because they were selected the way they are, even with the mortal bodies. So there's a separation that's already happened, and there will be no change, no crossing over from the mortal who are being resurrected in the second resurrection for judgment to cross over to the immortality that already the ones who partook in the first resurrection will have received eternal life like that. Verse 26 continues. I've read that, verse 27. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, verse 28, for I have five brothers, so that he may witness to them, and that they not also come to this place of torment. So it is interesting that he's now making a reference that there are five brothers. So who are they? When I was doing a study, looking at in between the testaments, the last book of the Old Testament being the book of Malachi, being written from between 450 before Common Era to 400 before Common Era, and now the New Testament books. So in between there is a lot that happened. And now in the New Testament you have the groups that Yeshua is trying to show them that it doesn't... if one belongs to a group, say the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Herodians, they will not make them to become sons of Yahweh. That's because they have their own self-righteousness or righteousness according to the Torah that they were proclaiming at that time. And we go to Matthew chapter 3 to show us these brothers, the five brothers, who are they? Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and then we will drop down to verse 5 to 12. It says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the deserted places of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has grown near. Verse 5, then Jerusalem and all Judea went out to him, and all the neighborhood of Jordan, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, offspring of vipers, who has informed you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And do not suppose to say within yourselves, we have a father, Abraham. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. But already the axe is even laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, any tree not bringing forth good fruit is cut off and is thrown into fire. I did baptize you in water to repentance, but he who is coming after me is stronger than me, and of whom are not worthy to remove the sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the storehouse. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we see here, Yeshua is, or rather, John the Baptist is telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who are coming to his baptism, that they had to repent. Not belonging to a certain religious group at that time made them to become righteous or to be able to be granted eternal life, but to repent and be baptized in water and to receive the Holy Spirit, because there's a judgment coming where there will be an unquenchable fire, which depicts now the lake of fire, which we have mentioned before. So we see two groups here, Sadducees and the Pharisees. The book of Matthew still, chapter 22, Matthew, verse 15 and 16, it says, then going the Pharisees took counsel, so as they might trap him in the words, and they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know you are true, and teach the way of Yahweh in truth, and it does not concern you about anyone, for you do not look to the face of man. So we see another group there called the Herodians, and the Herodians, they were siding with the rulership at that time, who were Herod being the head of the Romans at that time. And then we also have chapter 23, verse 1 to 3. It mentions about another group. Verse 1 to 3, chapter 23, Matthew still, it says, then Yeshua spoke to the crowd and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have sat down on Moses' seat. Then all things whatever he, Moses, tells you to keep and do, but do not do according to the works, for they talk and do not do. So we see the scribes being another group. And then we also have the zealots, and one of the disciples of Yeshua, Simon, was a zealot. So those are the ones who believe that they wanted to fight physically to have the kingdom of Israel back at their hands. And then we also have the Essenes, the Essenes who were in Qumran with John the Baptist. So there's another group of priests who set themselves apart when they saw corruption in the temple and whatever was taking place at that time, and they wanted to sanctify themselves. So being an Essene or being in that group did not in any way also make them to become the sons of Yahweh to inherit eternal life, but through the belief of Yeshua. And praise Yahweh that in the book of Acts it talks about priests who believed in Yeshua and they were baptized, and they will be in the kingdom for that. So that shows us the five brothers. I believe that's what it's saying there, that it doesn't make any one of them being in any of those groups to be the sons of Yahweh. Verse 29 in the book of Luke chapter 16, we continue the parable, and it says, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophet, let them hear them. So having now Moses and the prophets means that they had the scriptures, and Yeshua, being the Messiah of Israel, there are more than 300 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament, which were fulfilled to the tip by Yeshua himself, the only one who fulfilled all the scriptures. And that is why it mentions here that Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. We go to the book of John, chapter 5. Let's start from verse 39. The book of John, verse 39. It says, you cite the scriptures, for you think in them you have everlasting life, and they are the ones witnessing concerning me. And you are not willing to come to me that you may receive life. I do not receive glory from men, But I have known you that you do not have the love of Yahweh in yourselves. I have come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If anyone, if another comes in his own name, you will receive that one. How are you able to believe, you who receive glory from one another, and the glory which is from the only Elohim you do not seek? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one accusing you, Moses, in whom you have hope. For if you are believing Moses, you would then believe me, for that one wrote concerning me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So we see that they were blinded to the scriptures. They were reading the scriptures, and the scriptures was talking about the Messiah, but they were blinded to that, and they were not coming to him. So they have Moses and they have the prophet. Let them believe Moses and the prophet, and definitely they will come to the Messiah if they have that open heart want to repent and to receive the eternal life. We continue the parable, verse 30 and 31. It says, "But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one should go from the dead to them, they will repent. And he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they would also not listen and believe him. If a man from the dead should rise, they still would not believe him." So what the Yahshua giving here is that even him is going to die and resurrect on the third day. And with this resurrection, they will not believe him also after his resurrection. So so Yahshua here shows that even if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, if somebody resurrects from the dead to preach to them, they will not in any way believe. And we know what happened after his resurrection in the book of Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read that they gave out money to the soldiers who witnessed the resurrection, that, oh, tell the people that these disciples came and stole the body when we were asleep at night. And that word, that report went throughout even to this day. The Bible says up to this day. So showing that they didn't believe in Yahshua's resurrection. And in that way, they lost out on that the gift that Yahweh is giving out, his grace to save mankind. So the Gentiles, who Eleazar represents, are grafted into one tree of Israel through faith in Yahshua, just like Abraham, who believed in Yahweh and was counted to him for righteousness. The book of Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 25, it says, "On account of this, it is of faith, that it be according to grace, for the promise to be certain to all the seed, not to that of the law only, but also to that of the faith of Abraham, who is father of all of us all. According as it has been written, I have appointed you a father of many nations, before Elohim, whom we believe, the one making the dead live, and calling the things that are not as if they were. He hoped against hope, believed in hope, for him to be a father of many nations, according to what has been said, so shall your seed be. And being about 100 years old, he never weakened in faith, even when he examined his old body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he did not hesitate at the promise of Elohim as one lacking faith, but he was strong in faith and gave glory to Elohim, and felt assured that what Yahweh had promised to him, he was able to fulfill. Because of this, it was also counted to him for righteousness. But it was not written for him only that it was counted to him, but also on account of us, on account of us, to whom it is about to be counted, to once believing in him who has raised our Master Yahshua from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So Abraham believed in Yahweh, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Even us, as we believe in him, we are about to be counted for righteousness, also just as he was. And any person, the Yahshua came to his own, and his own rejected him, and to the ones who believed in him, they were given the authority to become the children of Yahweh, even those who believe in his name. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, it says, "For you are all sons of Yahweh through faith in Messiah Yahshua. For as many as were baptized into Messiah, you put on Messiah. They cannot be a Jew, nor Aramean. There is no slave, nor freeman. There is no male and female. For you are all one at heart, united in Messiah Yahshua. And if you are of Messiah, then you are seed of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise." So we see that whoever believes in Yahshua as the Messiah is baptized, then whether he's a Jew, whether he's a Gentile, whether he's free, whether he's a slave, whether male or female, all are one, united. We have the same covenant promises as our father Abraham, and we are to become heirs according to the promise. The last scripture, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is the gift of Elohim. Not of works, that not anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yahshua unto good works, which Elohim before prepared that we should walk in them. Because of this, remember that you, the nations, were then in the flesh from the beginning, and you were called uncircumcision, different from those called circumcision, which is the work of the hands of in the flesh. But at that time you were without the Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in this world. But now in Messiah Yahshua, you who then were afar off are brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one at heart and has broken down the wall of separation between them. In his flesh he has caused to cease the enmity due to the man-made regulations, laws and regulations, that he might in himself create the two into one new man, making peace. And he reconciled both in one body to Elohim and destroyed the enmity through the crucifixion. And coming, he proclaimed peace to you, the ones afar off, and to the ones near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and family members living abroad, but you are natives of the same family of the saints and children of the family of Yahweh, being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yahshua Messiah himself being the cornerstone of the building, in whom all the building being fitted together grows into a holy sanctuary in Yahweh, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of Elohim in the Spirit." So we know what was happening during the temple time, that there was a court for the Gentiles, and for the dispersed Israelites coming from the nations, they were regarded as the nations, as the Gentiles, and they used to sit in the court of the Gentiles. And that is why Paul is talking about bringing them to become one through the Messiah. So the same thing, whether being a physical Israelite or being born with a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whether it's a Gentile who is being grafted in, we all have one promise, one faith. We become part of one body of Messiah, and we offer the spiritual sacrifices to Yahweh through Master Yeshua. So there is no boasting. It is through the belief in Yeshua that all believers are saved, and through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father, and being built up as a holy sanctuary to Yahweh dwelling in us. It is clear from Scripture that those who reject Yahweh's free gift of eternal life through repentance and the shed blood of Yeshua Messiah will simply have their mortal bodies burned in the lake of fire and cease to exist. On the other hand, the lake of fire should stand as a warning to all who know Yahweh's way of life and still stubbornly refuse to obey. It is clear from this parable that we have to change now, and we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yahweh bless. Acts Amen.